Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is Matthew chapter 15, verses 1 through 20. The Reverend Dr. John Sias is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from the Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 15th chapter. Then Pharisees and scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem and said, "Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat." He answered them, "And why do you break the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? For God commanded, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and whoever reviles father or mother must surely die. But you say, 'If anyone tells his father or mother, what you would have gained from me is given to God, he need not honor his father.' So for the sake of your tradition, you have made void the word of God. You hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you when he said, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.' And he called the people to him and said to them, 'Hear and understand. It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a person.' Then the disciples came and said to him, 'Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying?' He answered, 'Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be rooted up. Let them alone. They are blind guides. And if the blind lead the blind, both will fall into a pit.' But Peter said to him, 'Explain the parable to us.' And he said, 'Are you also still without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is expelled? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile anyone. O Lord, have mercy upon us."
Thanks be to God.
In many and various ways God spoke to his people of old by the prophets.
But now in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. That grand hymn we just sang is Luther's. And it recalls the struggle of the Reformation to restore the Word of God to its rightful place. The law of God revealing the limits God has fixed on life, condemning sin, instructing the heart, and the gospel of the cross and passion of Jesus, the forgiveness of sins for his sake, alone justifying, giving the comfort our troubled souls require, which cannot be got at any other way. The hymn fits the text for today, our reading from Matthew 15, it being cited no less than 15 times, take that, numerologists, in the Lutheran confessions. To distinguish the self-chosen works of men, traditions of fasting and paying, tonsuring and monkeying around, bowing and scraping, none of which can ever justify from that which alone does. And then a few more times, take that, numerologists, on the doctrine of original sin, that what filth comes out of us is not just nurture but nature, not just deprivation but depravity, corrupted to our cores as we are by sin. No man will be justified by what he does, or could be, for what comes out of us ourselves is not justifying, or even good. God, who is just, justifies the one, rather, who has faith in Jesus. Our Lord does not go that far in what he says here, all the way to the gospel, although by referencing Isaiah 29, it's not far off. But he does take a pretty good yank at the loose yarn of the sweater of human traditions and conventions the Pharisees have so carefully knitted to guard against the evening chill of death, to convince themselves that God is pleased with them out of all people, that they will not die but live, although the sweater is never quite long enough. He might have said more directly in response to their comment, "You will never eat so clean as never to die." Maybe that's a word for our age as well. It's true, I found. But here endeth neither the law nor the gospel. So Jesus dug deeper, as he always does. He went on to show how their comfortable, bespoke, impressive, yet somehow achievable laws did not fill up as he does, but made void, hollowed out the word of God. For to them, "I gave it to God instead" was a good enough, maybe better answer to parents who came needing help from their kids. "Don't look for it from me. Boom, gotcha." I suppose maybe with our social safety nets today, Corban is something more like, "I gave it all to Uncle Sam instead." But this is better. What could be better than, "I gave it all to God. Sorry, Mom and Pop." But our Lord retorts, "God has given you parents, and the law of God is, honor them." To do otherwise and say it's grand, just because, is to dump out the word of God and put your own juice in there. But your own juice doesn't get it done, any more than the heart surgeon is going to fix himself. He'll always stop before he gets deep enough. And so do you. And your sweater of self-made righteousness, however carefully and long crafted, will never quite keep off the chill. We all know this. Nevertheless, when someone comes tugging at it, pulling out years of carefully laid nits and pearls of why you did this and how it was better than what was done to you, why so-and-so doesn't deserve you and how thus and such is or should be yours and not his, why the desires of your heart, of all people, are somehow pure as the driven snow, whatever God has said and given. When the best that you can do is backed out, is not good enough, you know that feeling. It's as if life itself were being ripped away. Do you know the disciples asked Jesus, when of course he does, that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this stuff? We are no strangers, I imagine, to offense when we speak the word of God, no more in our day than in Luther's, our hearts with one consent on God's pure doctrine grounded. Error's maze abounds yet. But neither, and here's the bigger thing, are we strangers to offense when the word of God is spoken to us. Strange is the Lord's work, as Isaiah says, and we feel it. If he means the law to be obeyed, why does his law brook no adjustment to make it in our impression obeyable or in our mind fair? If he means me to live and not to die, why is he pulling at the strings of the life I've managed somehow to piece together, the social contract I've worked out to cohabitate with him in something like holiness and also in something like what I'd call life? If he means to save, why does he cut me so deep? If he wants me to believe, why does he come and offend me so? Well, this is why. Because no man will be justified by what he does or doesn't do or thought he was doing or could be. Because what comes out of us ourselves is not justifying or even good. God, who is just, justifies the one, rather, who has faith in this Jesus. Faith in this Jesus who does not dump out the word of God, but who is the word of God filled up, of whom Peter says that he committed no sin, neither was any iniquity found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He bore no sweater of self-righteousness to insulate himself from the wrath of God, from death, but bore instead our sins, the sins of the world. He alone showed forth the righteousness of God as more than keeping God's rules, let alone man's, but as God himself dying for the ungodly to make them righteous by faith. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. And by his wounds, you, Peter says, have been healed. This is the faith that alone justifies, the pure, clear fountain of Israel in which you must be stripped of all false sweaters and drowned if you are ever to come forth really alive and in that life to come out of death. And this is why it is well that he wound us to make us whole, that his word strike us as well as it does these Pharisees, that our mislaid rows of supposed good enough be seen for what they are and ripped out, that we take the law of God at its word. Better yet, let it take us, kill us, that by faith alone in Christ he may make us truly alive in ourselves, in him, and for those God has really given us to love. If you've tried it, you know this love has no end in Christ, but in Christ, who has finished it. That means it's a hard race for us to run. Harder than you'd have it, harder than you think you can do. But do not give up. For it is also better in every way than you could imagine. For in it, the word of God is not emptied out, but filled up, and promises too, not just the law. For blessed are they alone who run the race, not blind after blind, as the whole world does, but who run that race by faith, and so find their end in him. In the holy name of Jesus, amen.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.